Hello again and welcome to Keeping the Ball on the Ground. This is the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. I knew you'd be back to join us. You couldn't wait. You had a great week last week and you've decided to team up with us again. And we've got Simon Ferry with us, our own Simon from Open Goal. Morning, Simon.
Morning, Mark. How are you, mate? All right?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. And if you just look to your right-hand side, Simon, we've pulled it out of the bag again. The last podcast of the season, we thought, let's push the boat out. Let's go and get one of Scotland's top funny men. Let's go and get the best after-dinner speaker on the circuit. Let's also go and get somebody who knows about football, played at the very, very top of his game. But unfortunately, Frank McAvaney wasn't available this morning, and we've had Frank on far too often. So we thought, why not go for the Motherwell and Morton legend, John Gagan. John, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Mark. Good morning to you.
John's had me a bird in Frank anyway.
And there's something you never hear an after-dinner speaker say is good morning.
How's your weekend? Were you gigging?
Yes, I was.
A good weekend?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Thanks for asking. Things are going well just now. And long may it continue.
Absolutely. You are the top man on the circuit. Love you to bits. Love your routine. You're the best. And if anybody wants a good man to do their night for them, then look no further than John Gagan. Right, so for all of you out there with John and Simon, we've got the Champions League final review, look back on the game between Liverpool and Real Madrid, a wee bit about Sergio Ramos as well, his tackle on Mo Salah, Gareth Bale's goal, obviously Ronaldo's comments after the game, and then we'll look ahead to the start of the World Cup in Russia, and we'll have a look at the runners and riders involved in that. So stay with us for the next 45 minutes, as ever. We'll have a bit of fun, we'll be serious, and we'll make sure that we stimulate a bit of debate. So, Simon, kick us off. Liverpool 1, Real Madrid 3, but it's all about Karius, and he absolutely let Liverpool down.
Worst performance I've ever seen for a goalie in a big game. And I kind of do feel sorry for him, but I also think at the same time, he's one of these young guys that I think is completely having himself, and I think that's part of his problem. I remember hanging with Gary Neville, came out and kind of was quite right in what he said. I mean, he was making mistakes and Gary Neville brought it up and he decided to have a go back at Gary Neville. And I think when you do things like that, it's going to ultimately come back to bite you in the arse, and that's exactly what's happened to him. Just the first goal, I mean, what's actually going through his head with the first goal?
Yeah.
I actually didn't understand what he's doing. If you're going to throw it over his head, but he threw it right at him. I've seen people were saying that it's got that Grobler written all over it, but
the thing, the difference, I think, if I put my own goalie hat on here, and it was Peter Shilton mentioned it in an interview yesterday on Sky, is the thing about Bruce Grobler and goalies like that, they make a mistake mentally, they can recover and it doesn't affect them, but Karius never recovered from the first mistake. He had no chance for the second goal, but he's still been preying on his mind when the third goal is going in, and that's the difference between some goalkeepers, as mentally they can recover once they make a mistake to go on and play well, but for others, Karius being a prime example, he was unable to recover. And that's sometimes when a manager would look at this the situation and assess, and it would be controversial, but do I take my goalkeeper off? You know, do I actually sub him, because the manager should know his state of mind. When you look at the two goals, John, the first one and the third one, which was the worst error out of the tour?
Well, the first one is the worst, because if that hadn't happened, things could have been so different. But the second one just capitulated everything about Liverpool's problem at the back. It was the Cyclops and the Unicorn. The Cyclops and the Unicorn. It was an accident waiting to happen. And Klopp knew it. The Liverpool fans knew it. And in fact, was anybody really truly surprised that something like that went on? I was cringing for them. Cringing. Both of them.
But it is Klopp's fault, isn't it? I think.
I mean, should have addressed it.
Everyone can see that the boy was at that level. Maybe he will become that level. I think De Gea had the first tough season at Man United. Karius might go on to have a good career like De Gea, but for this season, he wasn't a good... You can't win the Champions League with a goalie like that.
I don't think he can recover. I would think now his Liverpool career's finished.
Well, let's put it this way. Klopp, is that his fifth or sixth final and he's lost them all, and he will continue either never to get back to a final, never mind win one, with a goalkeeper as incompetent as that. Look back at Ferguson's reign at Manchester United. Great team that they were. When they were under severe pressure, they had a guy, Peter Schmeichel, who pulled them right out the SHIT many times. In fact, we spoke about a wee bit earlier off air when Gordon has done at Celtic. Although Celtic have dominated so many games, there's been times where they've just been a goal ahead or perhaps even level, and Craig Gordon's produced moments of magic. And that's what it's all about. And it's something Liverpool haven't got. And unless they address it, they are going nowhere.
Well, Guardiola addressed it right away at Man City. So Joe Hart, I'm not having it. He then...
tremendous.
Bravo.
Bravo.
He was a
second
midfielder, Bravo, wasn't he?
And then, you know, but he is, but he identified and said, OK, I'm going to have to be ruthless here. And that's why you're a top manager, and that's why you get success.
Even saying about Ferguson, I think his driest patch at Man United when he never really won anything was when he couldn't get the goalie right.
That's right.
Remember point. He had Bosnich,
yeah, Barthez
and
Taibbi. Bosnich, you're right.
Great point, Simon.
Thanks very much, John. Cheers.
That's what we need
to
write.
That's why I'm here, mate.
We'll write that down.
It's only two to the last podcast.
36 podcasts and Simon Ferry makes a great point.
Not just a pretty face, John.
So, what about it? Did you feel for Karius, or did you notice at full time when none of his teammates went to console him apart from his goalkeeping coach?
You know, I liked it they never went over, because I think if you do go over, it's fake. Honestly, do I think, see if you go over and you're cuddling him or not, I think you're a fake person. Because see if that happened to me and I played that game, because I think Liverpool in the first half were the better team, I really do, and that first goal I would be fuming. There's no way I'd go over him. It'd take me a couple of days before I could go and speak to him. On the other end, it's usually me making the mistakes and nobody speaks to me for 2 days, so I know exactly how he feels.
Would you have been the same if it was one of your teammates, if it was a goalkeeper?
No, I would have. At some stage, I would have had a wee word with him, because it's demoralising, isn't it? And he is one of your mates. But let's face it, this is the Champions League final. The whole world's watching. And all the boys that were picked to play, they've got their own dreams and hopes and dreams. But shattered by two moments, it was childish.
Just going back,
is that harsh?
No, I think you're right.
I think you're right. Get back to your career, try to think. Nicky Walker, Davy Wiley, Huey Sproat.
Davy Wiley, one magnificent moment with Davy. Davy was a good goalkeeper.
Aye, Morton, a legend there. A great
guy around. But there was one day we played Rangers in a match. It might have been a pre-season friendly. And it was 7-0 to Rangers. And then Davy drop kicked a ball near the end, and I think it went near the halfway line. He skidded along the ground, and I'm sure it was Charlie Miller returned it first time or Davy's head, and as Davy retreated back, he tried a Gareth Bale overhead kick and his foot caught in the roof of the net. So there was Davy hanging upside down.
Did it go in? Did the ball go in the net?
It's 8-0 to Rangers. Players are all killing us, they're laughing.
I'm surprised Davy could get his leg up that high.
That wasn't a mistake. That was just a hilarious moment. In fact, Wiley, for being an eccentric goalie as they all are, it was pretty good. Pretty good boy.
I think he's still the goalie coach just out, I think, at Morton, isn't he? I think
he is, aye. No wonder, because he's got a wealth of experience. But the best keeper I ever played was Shuggy Sproat, who had Ali McLeod to sign for United. He was a magnificent character as well as being a tremendous goalkeeper.
Best you've played with, Simon?
Scott Bain was up there. Scott Bain was brilliant. Remember when I first came to Dundee and they said that we signed a boy for Alloa, and I thought we'll get 8 or 9 passes every week, but he was excellent. And Wes as well, Wes Fodrenham, obviously at Rangers. Him and Bainey, not the biggest guys in the world, but so confident, come for crosses, better than bigger guys that have played against coming for crosses, because they were so confident in their ability, Bainey and Wes. And I think that's why they're playing at two of the biggest clubs in Scotland.
Worst mistakes you've seen with goalkeeper your team? You were talking about that.
I told you, mate, I had a guy at Portsmouth, lovely guy, but he just couldn't save the ball, man. I don't know what happened to him.
What was his name again?
His hands were drunk. John Sullivan. We used to drink vodka through their mouth, but I think he used
John
to...
John Sullivan, he wrote Only Fools and Horses, John Sullivan.
He looked like he started it when he was playing for us. He used to just pour vodka on his hands at 5-3, mate, and his hands were steaming every game. He was a lovely guy. I told you, he's selling Hoos is in Las Vegas now. I think he actually listens to these, so I can imagine I'll get a wee message from him, but he wasn't the best.
But a good guy.
Great guy, yeah. That's what that matters, isn't it?
Right. There's something my dad would never have done, is pouring booze on his hands. That would have been a first.
Too much of a waste, that, John, isn't it?
That's not hard.
It is hard for goalies, don't it? It is hard. I mean, see, the second error, I could forgive that, because that happens. I think the way the balls move, I could forgive, but the first one...
I don't think there's a lot of movement in the ball, to be honest. The second one, it's just... He's gone, he's shot. You can tell it's a goal.
So would you have hooked him after the first?
I'd have really tempted, but that's where your manager and the goalkeeping coach really getting to know the guy would have been, you know. But then the part of the problem is as well, if they don't actually trust in Mignolet, it's our goalkeeper, which they clearly don't, then they're probably thinking we'd be as well sticking with him.
I've heard that before, by the way, with DeCanio. I remember we were playing and the boys had started off for the first 15 minutes. We were terrible. We were on the bench. It was me, obviously, six other boys. First 15 minutes, we were getting battered, and he turned around and he says to us, "See, if any of yous were any decent, I'd make a sub right now." But it's probably the same thing with Mignolet, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
He just probably couldn't trust him either. But that is as a man. That's what he says to us. Turned around and said, "I would, if any of yous were any half decent, I would make a change right now." But he was partial at that. 15 minutes in, he'd take you off, hook you.
Quite right. If that's what it's got to be. Any other goalie stories, John?
No, it's an interesting point about having the right guy at the right time. Livingston this season with Neil Alexander. Mm-hmm. And what a signing that's turned out to be.
A big hoppy.
Top class goalkeeper. And there's an example of a guy who's, just look at the last minutes there against Thistle when he saved that penalty. Yeah, that just summed it all up.
Mm-hmm.
What a big moment, big goalie, big moment, and that was the cigars out for Livingston.
Just we'll go off script then, just for a wee second, because I've just stumbled onto something very, very quickly, because he's in demand, and why not speak up a bright young Scottish manager?
Oh.
We were on, you know, Davy Hopkin. Well, you must be delighted for him.
Oh, I'm delighted for him, but having done the comedy circuit around Scotland and hearing what all the clubs and all the people, the managers and players who have played against Livingston, the praise they're dishing out for Hoppy and his great squad is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely got a future. He's a wonderful boy. He's got a fantastic disposition, a wonderful philosophy. He's very upbeat. He's got an aura about him.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going. I actually played with Hoppy at Morton. He was a young boy coming through in the early 1990s, and there was Davy Hopkin, Derek McInnes, Brian Reid, Derek Lilly, these type of boys, and that's why I quit the game. I was training with these guys who were super athletes and super enthusiasts and brilliant young players, and I realised I was 3 or 4 yards off the first division pace, and so I chucked it. And then of course the rest is history. All these boys get sold off and had fantastic careers. Hoppy himself, Crystal Palace, Leeds, and getting capped for Scotland.
Yeah,
and here he is with all that great experience for up here under McGraw and John McMaster, doing South with all the boys he'd mixed with doing there, and bang, suddenly he's created a miracle. Mm.
He's in demand as well.
I think he'll go now, because even the wee boy Mullins signed for Ross County the other day.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the players will leave Livingston this summer just due to money, won't it? I mean, Ross County in the First Division will be able to offer much more money than Livingston in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That's a sad fact for him.
And Hoppy, where do you think he'll end up? He's in, I think, Shrewsbury.
I think he'll go down south, because I think the Shrewsbury manager will take the Ipswich job, won't he?
Yeah.
And I think Hopkins will probably get that.
I think the chief executive at Shrewsbury is Scotsman.
Yeah, because they do employ quite a lot. Mickey Mellon got the job not long ago.
Brian Caldwell,
uh-huh,
the chief executive. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Hoppy there. There'll be a hard act to replace at Livingston. Right, we'll get back to it. So we've had a pop at Carries, and rightly so, but let's look at another problem for Liverpool on Saturday night, and that was the injury to Mo Salah. Ramos, innocent tackle. Did they know kind of what he was doing?
By the way, can I just see that Champions League final? It was more like the X Factor final. How many people were greeting? Every time I looked around, something, I thought my two veins were playing, man. Just tears all the time, weren't they? No, I love Ramos. Love him. He's a Motherwell and Hamilton player, isn't he? Should be playing for Motherwell and Hamilton, man. He just batters people a bit. I love him. He's a winner, isn't he? He'll do anything to win. I know people could say he's cheating, but ask any fan, they'll take him in his team in a minute. And his record in finals is unbelievable.
And what, there's a reason what about his antics though? When you see him, you know, clutching his face when nobody's touched him, having a wee wink with the linesman when Salah's going off, and you're thinking he would great you, wouldn't he?
I agree with Simon.
Cheers, John.
Ramos is a magnificent player, but he's as ruthless as they come. Mm-hmm. And that incident with Salah just summed it all up. That was a judo throw. He knew he had Salah in that lock, and he definitely pulled Salah down with him and turned him round. Not saying he actually meant to break his bones, but he meant to bring him down, and he meant to
make it uncomfortable for him.
Make it uncomfortable, let's put it that way, because we can't prove anything. But when you watch it, you see there he are, and he's up patting Salah in the head, but you could tell by the look in his face he was thinking,
beauty,
pop,
magnificent. Mm-hmm. These guys want to win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. If Mo Salah, who had started the game magnificently, his touch, his movement, his energy levels were amazing. Liverpool were playing, they dominated the first half hour. As soon as Salah went off, Liverpool died. They actually, it seemed to me they reverted to an away leg in a European tie once Salah went off, where they tried to contain more and hitting the brick. As it turned out, it was Real Madrid who were creating chance after chance after. It could have been five or six in the end.
I noticed listening to the post-match analysis from Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard and Rio Ferdinand on BT. I have to say, once again, particularly impressed with Steven Gerrard's comments. I think he speaks very, very well about the game. But they singled out Lampard and Gerrard too. World-class midfielders in a day singled out Luka Modric. He's just been the man. And
what a player.
When you see him, he just pops it and moves it. He's different class.
I said the last week, I think Liverpool's weakest point, people say defence, but I think the midfield's particularly weak. Henderson, who was it? Wijnaldum, and who was the other one that played? I think they're miles off of Casemiro, Cruz and Modric. And I think you see they've signed the boy Chieta, who's coming in the summer, and yesterday they signed Fabinho.
Yeah.
So Klopp obviously acting quick, and I think Liverpool are here, right, good chance next year. If they've got the two midfielders, and I think they'll get another attacker in and maybe another defender in, and I think Liverpool will be the closest ones to Man City next year.
Do you think he will go for it? We'll just touch back on that. Do you think he will go for a goal, or do you think he's got that stubbornness as if, like, I'll not be told by outside influences?
Karius will never play for Liverpool again.
Well, they shouldn't. I don't think he should. I agree with you, John, but I just wonder if the managers.
No, he's not that stupid.
No.
Klopp's made a big mistake in not addressing this terrible problem much earlier. Could it have been a financial thing? Was there no more money to do this? But no way is he going.
I like to Roma goalie.
Allenson, the Brazilian boy.
He's a good goalie. I think Roma have got financial difficulties as well, so I think they might get him quite cheap.
They might end up getting a deal.
It's a no-brainer. You need to get
as
a goalie.
Simon said, Real Madrid's superstars, they thrive on these Champions League things. They were never going to bottle it. They were never going to freeze. Benzema did what Dembele's been doing at Celtic, you know. Occasionally you think, what's happening to this guy? And then, bang, he turns it on, and everybody thinks, woof. Mm-hmm. That's Ronaldo, all this. Modric, every single one of them lifted their level. Mm-hmm. When you think of the terrible season they've had league-wise.
Domestically, yeah.
And of course, Liverpool's main superstar was gone.
So, you get to the game, as you say, Benzema, he opens the scoring, Liverpool get back in it when Manny equalises, but then Gareth Bale, he comes off the bench, and within 3 minutes,
amazing,
he scored. Is it the best goal in a champ? And we can't go back to all the European finals over, you know, 60, 70 years, but in terms of Champions League, which is 25 years old, is that the best goal we've seen in a Champions League final?
Not for me.
No?
I think Zidane's is better.
Still Zidane at Hampden against
Bayer
Leverkusen.
I've played with guys who couldn't have kicked it in Arsenal, they could do an overhead kick on any given day. But Zidane's volley, up in the air that high, on his weak fit, his technique, I think the technique's harder. Zidane's goal's harder today than
still Zidane for you, John?
Well, it was a sensational goal, wasn't it? And for me, the nice thing was that when Benzema scored, I thought, please don't let that be the winning goal. Please don't let that decide this Champions League final. So when Bale scored that goal, I thought, well, that'll do nicely. Mm-hmm. But of course, as fate would have it, for poor Karius, the final nail was his final nail. And
he wasn't having Beltane in the glory of Karius, wasn't he? He wanted it
off
himself.
Let's look at his future. Karius, who's going to take a gamble with him? What fans are going to think?
Peterhead next season for him, son.
Oh, Peter.
He'll be training one night a week, don't worry about that.
Straight to the jail or play for the team. So, John, best Champions League final goal, Bales, yes or no?
Oh, well, I would, right, well, it's still in my head, I would have to say yes.
Yes.
But that's no fair, because right now,
because it's so fresh.
I can't think back so much just now, but
Zidane's
best really for you.
Special. Aye, but maybe, but do you know, I'm tempted to say Zidane, because it's in Scottish soil, it was Hampden, so you put all that into the mix, and plus Zidane was, I mean, right up there, right in the very, very best there's ever been. But to be fair to Gareth Bale, to just come on the pitch and to have the audacity to do that, you know, in a Champions League final at work, because he could have made himself look like a clown, but he's actually come on, he's executed it, goalkeepers, no chance. And then his after-match comments hinting about trying to get away. Do you see him back in the English Premier League next season, John?
Oof, that would be exciting for the English Premier League, because he's world class. The fact that he's been on the bench just beggars belief. But then I think the fact that Lee Griffiths has been on the bench, it's Celtic beggars belief as well. You know, so strange things happen.
What do you think, Sam? He's going to be 29 during the close season.
I think he'll be far too much money. I think they'll want, what, £200 million for him? I think his wages are ridiculous.
He's certainly not staying.
No, you don't think he'll stay? I think it'll be a PSG.
I think when they put him on the bench in that final, Gareth Bale decided, I'm off.
He's also outed his manager at full time. Wow. He's saying Zidane, which is incredible. Zidane didn't come up and congratulate him at full time. And then he went in to do his... He's left a media conference at full time to receive his man in the match award. He was asked, what's your gaffe? He says, don't know, he's not said anything to me yet. You think, wow, that is a proper frosty situation in there.
Well, I think that says it all. Don't know whether there's been conflict between them already, which there perhaps must have been. If you were dropped for the Champions League final, just as you were hitting some sensational form. But then, of course, the fact that he played Benzema, which was quite controversial, and he ends up scoring and playing very well, that got Zidane off the hook.
Well, you wonder as well, was Bale maybe not hoping, but had Real Madrid lost on Saturday night, chances are Zidane might have been sacked, and then he's thinking, okay, I'll have a go with a new gaffer. But now that Zidane's going to be staying, he's probably thinking, right, I need to get out. But as you say, I would imagine it would be at least 150 mil to get him out of the door. No many clubs can afford to pay that.
I think the frustrating thing as well is, whoever you are, when you go to Real Madrid or Barcelona, you're playing second fiddle to Ronaldo and Messi. Doesn't matter how good you are or how good you think you are, they two guys are the top men. And I think that's frustrating for Bill. I think Ronaldo's, what, 33, 34?
Must be about that now, yeah.
So you'd think it's perfect that Ronaldo, next couple of years, he'll go away and Bale will be the main man, but it doesn't seem that Zidane thinks that.
Swap deal then, Neymar for Gareth Bale.
That's what I was thinking.
Something like that.
If you were both sides would be happy with that, because I don't think Neymar's particularly happy at PSG.
Who's Bale taking over again at PSG? Who's just
the
job?
The German guy, Tuchel.
Tuchel, that's right.
Tuchel, sorry. But Bale's in the top four players in the world for me. When fit and playing every week, he's one of the guys that can win a game, which he didn't get many in the world. I think Ronaldo and Messi, as I said, Salah maybe, and then I'd put Bale up with the three. So any other team in the world, I think he'd go and play for. But it just seems like he's always played second fiddle to big gorgeous chops, and I think that'll be the case until he leaves there.
The amazing thing is, though, a guy the profile of Gareth Bale, that they'll generate so much money for sales of his shirts worldwide. There's a whole commercial side to these guys, as well as season tickets, as people keep talking about. It's a massive worldwide basis, as we know through doing the after dinner circuit, the amount of items in Scotland alone for all over the world.
Yeah, the auctions and stuff, yeah.
Look at that worldwide. These are getting sold, and the generation finances that come in through that. So when you sign a guy like that, there's a great income coming in.
There's a rumour as well that Chris Coleman's told him to hang off until he gets a job. He'll try and sign him.
So we could see Gareth Bale at Livy then. Big hope he goes and Chris Coleman
gets a Livy job, probably.
Ends up at Alwyn Vale. Well, you never know. It could be John Hartson, could be next Livingston manager. John's his big pal.
Love
you
to see
know.
Big John get that.
You just never know. We'll see what happens. Right, we're sticking with the Champions League final theme. One more section on it to go. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball in the, on the ground, in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say, joined by our very own Simon Ferry. And our special guest today is the one and only John Gagan. Right, Ronaldo. Comments after the game. Now, it might just be me, but I'll put my own theory out there just to kick us off. When he puts his own future up in the air, for me, it was nothing more than to steal the limelight from Gareth Bale and the glory. Now, I might be wrong, but he wanted to become the centre of attention as ever. His display on Saturday night on the park didn't merit it, so he thought, I'll make a decision within a week. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Definitely, I agree. I think he's all about himself, Ronaldo, isn't he? I mean, if Bale scores a goal like that, you'd be up to him straight away. I didn't think he went and celebrated him, did he?
I was looking for him in the sort of pile and couldn't see him.
Fixing his barnet somewhere, but even Zidane's comments after the game were all about Ronaldo's thing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Bale, which is baffling, but on the other side, you can understand it. I mean, what he's done for Real Madrid is unbelievable. And he wants to be paid the same as what Messi and Neymar are getting. And I think he should, 100%.
I mean, you look at it now, John, we're looking at some of the figures. Let's say your top half dozen players in the world earn in the region of £500,000 per week, or whatever it may be, 500,000 euros. I love your story. I don't know if we can do it on air about McGraw when you go for the wage rise.
This is a true story. It was May 1994, and I was thinking about retiring, and I went in for discussions with McGraw down at Morton, and they told me that they were thinking about offering me a 1 year contract. And so I asked him for a tenner a week rise, and he said to me, "It's characters like you that are draining the game dry."
I love that word, characters, John. I love that word.
Yeah, I've substituted that one.
Okay, and what, you were on £100 a week for 4 years prior to that, he said,
draining the game.
Oh, we both laughed, though. It was tongue in cheek, but he did say it, and we had a laugh. And as it turned out, I did retire in 1994, and they never had the money. They really didn't have the money to be paying players any more than they were on. But then they sold Hoppy, and I think he went for 250,000, and he actually came back and said, "We could offer you a better deal." £7.50. It's your final offer.
But you look at the figures, John, now, and it is mad.
I think it's just the bubble's got to burst. It isn't the fact that Ronaldo and Bale and these type of guys are, if you go back to the modern day superstars that we've had in Scotland, like Henrik Larsson and Brian Laudrup and Gascoigne and these boys, they were box office, they were worth, pay them what they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the boys in the periphery who are certainly no superstars, and some of them are lucky to be in an environment where the boys around about them are great, so they might just shine. It's these guys, and there's thousands of them, that own big wages. Mm-hmm. Which is just ridiculous.
Well, you see now, you look at the English Premier League with the money that they get from television and sponsorship.
Aye.
And nothing against the boys, because if they're getting offered the money, they take it and they sign it. But it just appears now, and you see it every summer, it'll be starting again within the next couple of weeks, and the window starts in full flow. Down the road in England, a Premier League player, just a half decent one, nothing more than a half decent player, will cost you £20 million. And they'll be commanding 80, 90 grand a week in wages.
That doesn't mean. Right. See, big Fellaini at Man United now, he's wanting more money. 3 years, he's not kicked his arse for 3 years. But because they know they don't want to lose him for free, because they can maybe get 20 or 30 million quid for him, they're going to need to give him a £30,000 a week wage rise so that he doesn't go for free. Which is, he didn't even do well. People just do it all right and then they get a 30 grand a week wage rise.
Mm-hmm.
If that was
the case,
I'd be on about 100 grand a week if it was just being decent, do you know what I mean?
Jim McLean years ago, the boys in the media called him the Ayatollah. But his philosophy was so right. He wanted the basic wage to be kept low and the bonuses could be huge. So only people playing in the team and winning would reap the rewards financially. So if you were out the team, you were fighting like fury to get back in there, because otherwise you're not going to get much money. And that's what you want in your squad. You want guys who just can't wait to get in there and can't wait to compete and win. But then, we've got, Simon said, we've now got guys sitting in million-pound contracts, and if they're injured, they're sitting with champagne and cigars, and it's just a jolly.
Where does Ronaldo go then? So let's say he does, over the next 4 or 5 days, decide he wants to go. I don't know if he's got a set release clause in terms of a fee, but let's say he's going to be 100 million, bearing in mind his age, so 100 million quid, he's maybe got 2-3 years at the very most left at the top, and he's looking for 500 grand a week in wage. That's £25 million a year in wages, and 100 million. Again, you're coming back to it. There's only one or two clubs that could afford that.
And it's dealing with the personality as well, isn't it? I mean, would you want Ronaldo in your dressing room, the way he acts at Real Madrid?
Yes.
You would you?
Would you take him, John?
I would take any type of personality for a guy who's going to go in the pitch and
score goals.
The way it is for Man United around Mourinho, I don't know how they got on, and obviously they're both Portuguese. But you look at Man United, what the Man United supporters are saying in terms of the need to liven themselves up middle to front. Is Ronaldo just the type of player that Mourinho needs to bring to Man United at the moment?
You bring a 34-year-old in, and then what happens to Martial and Rashford again? Same as Ibrahimovic. I mean, I think for me, Martial and Rashford could be superstars. They just need to play. I mean, you bring Ronaldo in at 34.
You would change the manager then?
I would change the manager at Man United to him. I don't think he's right for Man United.
You need to play. There's a great comment. You need to play, and it's what Stevie Clark did at Kilmarnock. What a signing he was, and well done to the football writers for nominating him as the manager of the year, because what a revolution. But he also revolutionised Chris Boyd's career again, because he realised this guy's a goal machine, and there's two things you need to do if you've got a guy who can play and can score and cause havoc. You need to play the guy and you need to get him ammunition. So Clark played him, built a foundation, and the rest is history. So you're right. If you're telling folk that you've got superstars in your team, but they're sitting in the background on the bench, something's not right. You need to play them. You need to give them the ammo and let them shoot their bullets.
How many times has Mourinho done it? De Bruyne, Salah, no, played them. Young boys. I mean, Ronaldo would never had the career. He wouldn't have been the superstar if Alex Ferguson never played him at 18 and 19. If you'd done a Mourinho at 19, I don't think he'd had the career he's had. I think he'd have been sold, probably. Because he didn't fit into Mourinho's style of play and his beliefs. I think you've got, as I say again, Martial and Rashford, two superstars. Just play them. Instead of bringing in guys like Sanchez, who's 30 now, you're bringing Ronaldo at 34. I mean, how is that taking the club long term? I just didn't. Some of his decisions really baffle us.
Sometimes you wonder, Mourinho, you look at his history of his managerial career, and he tends to very cleverly start working his exit plan, and you wonder if it's just a deliberate part of working the exit plan at Man United, where he's thinking, I've had enough here, the fans that have me, I ain't ever going to be able to compete with Manchester City and catch them over the next 2 years, so I'll just work my ticket and get my 40-50 million quid payoff.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think Guardiola would take Ronaldo, honestly. I didn't think he fits into his style of play, the way he wants his teams to work. I think it'd only be PSG that would maybe be the place for Ronaldo for me.
So could you see, John, Real Madrid just make sure that Ronaldo stays, and it makes him look good because he's hinting that he might want to go, and all of a sudden there's a circus created, and then no, he's staying and he's happy.
The circus has already been created throughout the season. I think there's been murmurings all season about Ronaldo not being happy. In fact, it might even have been longer than this season, so I don't think he'll be there. I don't think Ronaldo will be.
You think he's going to go this time? You think he'll be away? Yes.
I think he'll go, but I agree with you. Real Madrid will perhaps do everything in their power to hold him, or give the illusion that they're doing everything in their power to hold him, as clubs do to con the fans at times.
So you wonder where. I mean, again, I could only imagine something as we mentioned with Bale and Neymar, some kind of swap deal to just reduce the financial outlay. So I mean, just off the top of my head, I'm wondering, De Gea to Real Madrid and Ronaldo back there, you know, with some cash or something like that. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something that could make it work.
Griffiths to Real Madrid. That's a great example. Brendan Rodgers has just won his second treble. Who can argue with him? Mm-hmm. But a goal machine like Griffiths and a dead ball expert and a guy who causes havoc with his movement and his pace, sitting on the bench for so much of the season. And yet you can't argue Brendan Rodgers seeing in his head, as Simon had said, what managers do. They've got it in their head what they see as the successful formula, and some people are going to suffer. And at times, some of the guys who suffer are boys that 98% of the rest of the teams in the league or even in the country will be dying to get their hands on.
Well, before we move on to our final part section of the programme, and we'll look ahead to the World Cup in Russia, just on the Griffiths theme then, John, since you brought it up, can you see a point where Lee Griffiths decides, look, I am too good, with all respect, to be sitting on a bench, I need to go and play regular football?
Well, we'll be thinking that, surely.
Yeah.
These guys want to play every week. It's not always the case, but you know that Brendan Rodgers is so persuasive, and the Celtic fans, imagine playing in front of that every week. There's an enticement already. But if you can think, if he gets an assurance for Rodgers about a future, then he would certainly take it. Mm-hmm. But if there's no assurance of that first team place, Griffiths will have to go. He can't be on the bench.
The only thing would be, though, we said, is if you let Griffiths go, and at any given window, you could lose Moussa Dembele like that, because there's always going to be suitors looking after him. You might create a huge problem
A good point, though, because Dembele and Griffiths are totally different types of players. Mm-hmm. And the reason that Griffiths isn't playing is because Brendan Rodgers has an idea in his head as to what makes the Celtic team tick. Mm-hmm. With a guy as Dembele's style and stature up front. Now, if Dembele is sold, it doesn't mean to say that Lee Griffiths is now the man to lead Celtic, because Griffiths has been pushed aside, mm-hmm, for a player of Dembele's stature, mm-hmm, and style. Mm-hmm. So surely Rodgers would look to...
You would see Edouard.
Edouard would be the one ahead.
If they can get the 8-9 million.
And this is what will be preying on Lee Griffiths' mind as, mm-hmm, well.
But you look at Dembele, I was at the Scottish Cup final, and his performance in the first 45 minutes, I thought, was a masterclass centre forward performance.
As John said, for the way Celtic play, I think Dembele's got to play.
Yeah.
Every time I turn and tell folk that Dembele for me is some sort of enigma, just as I start spouting these words, sure as fate, Dembele turns on a 5-star performance. Mm-hmm. He did it twice against Rangers when he was absolutely sensational, and then in the cup final, we were expecting Motherwell to be doing the bullying. Dembele bullied the Motherwell defence right, left and centre. And Celtic bullied Motherwell with their possession of the ball. So for all that Robinson was saying, his team never turned up for 25, 30, 35 minutes, Celtic went at Motherwell like a wee dog with a rag doll. And that's why Motherwell never turned up for, because Celtic were with Dembele leading the charges he did. They were awesome that first half there.
Well, we've got you, John, and I remember. Rangers, Steven Gerrard, Gary McAllister start work on June the 1st on Friday.
Yeah.
Gary Max, a man that you know.
Great to see him back.
How do you think that Steven Gerrard and your pal Gary Mack will fare at Rangers?
Oh, it's a mouth-watering prospect. I never thought it would happen. I thought it was all pie in the sky, let's con the fans that we're trying to get things done. So that combination is absolutely amazing. How long will it continue? I'm wondering. It'll either be turning into a dream for Rangers, or it'll turn into a nightmare. There can be no in-between. Rangers have to accelerate under Steven Gerrard and Gary McAllister, or that'll no last. Mm-hmm. They've got to accelerate as from right now. I loved Gerrard's interview. I loved his steely look. I loved the way he spoke. I loved his how he talked about. I've already spoken to the magnificent Celtic fans. Imagine these boys getting that opportunity to play under the fanatical Rangers fans, and that's what Gerrard spoke about. These guys who've been following that club under terrible circumstances for years, they deserve something much better. And Scottish football needs it. We need a real strong Glasgow Rangers. We need some superstars coming in there. And Gerrard and McAllister, with their contacts and with their
stature.
Oh, their stature. Mm-hmm. There's a good word, Simon.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Can
we get players? Is it going to be loan? It must be loan. They must be bringing in guys in loan that McAllister and Gerrard have the. They can't be buying in.
They don't have the finances for ready-made top draw players, but you're right that they'll get some guys in, like Brendan Rodgers has at Celtic. You work with them, aye, you improve them. They'll need to get that with three or four of the guys at Rangers, get more out of the current squad. But one thing that you know as well with Gary Mack and with Steven Gerrard, you see his media conference the day he was paraded, he was brilliant. You know, he just gave that look of a guy and spoke, I thought, very, very well.
Yeah.
As they will not tolerate any slackers, any of these Peña types and Candias take the huff in the Scottish Cup, say all that kind of stuff. Any sign of that, you'd be booted out the door.
You'd be out the door. Both Gerrard and, from my own experience, of Gary McAllister, if you've met him, Simon, he's a class guy. He's a class guy on the park, he's a class guy off the park. Everything today was a touch of class. Mm-hmm. And everything today with Steven Gerrard has been class and it's been success. So what a combination. And this is what these guys will be looking for. They'll be looking for a bit of class and they'll be looking for success and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Nothing else will do. My only... I hope not, is I think back to the Celtic time when Liam Brady was brought in and people thought, wow, what a player, and that was a disaster. And when Barnes came in, this worldwide, that turned into a disaster. So I'm just hoping, and I can't see it, but I'm hoping that that's not what happens. It's the last thing Rangers need. It's the last thing Scottish football need.
Okay.
I wish them I wish them both great success.
Absolutely. World Cup preview, last bit of the programme. We're on the final stages of Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Matt Woody, joined by Simon Ferry and John Gagan. Right, World Cup Russia,
yes,
kicks off in a few weeks. It'll be here
Mad
before
Russians.
We know it. 4 weeks of top draw football. Let's get right into it. England, what's our chances under Gareth Southgate, Simon?
No chance of winning it. Chance to maybe go far. I think so. I think they've got some great players.
They've got a decent group to get out of that group, haven't they?
I think Belgium will win the group. I think England will finish second. And then in the qualifiers, in the knockout stages, anything could happen. I think they've got match winners, which I think you always need. If you can be organised and hard to beat, and you've got two or three match winners, then I think you've got a right good chance. So Sterling, for me, top player. Harry Kane, top player. If England could keep it tight at the back, they too could win games for them, definitely.
We've been speaking about goalkeepers. They've decided not to take Joe Hart, so it's left them with Jordan Pickford, Nick Pope and Jack Butland. I think only 9 caps between the three of them. Who'd be your number one goalkeeper for England during the World Cup, John?
Any one of the three. I think they're fantastic goalkeepers. But you're right, the only drawback could be the lack of experience at such a level. And that may come back to you. I doubt it though. I doubt it. I think these guys will shine. I agree with Simon though, again, and for all his zaniness and his 100 mile an hour, he comes away with some nice points. England are full of match winners. They've got guys who can produce moments of brilliance at any stage. So as you said, Mark, their group is a dream. They'll qualify, and then with a wee bit of luck, I think they could go all the way.
How are Panama at the World Cup by? The fuck did that happen?
Why not?
Was that bad?
Why not?
Well, what group did they call by?
Doesn't matter, they're there.
Do you think
this Simono Ferreira in Panama would be saying it if Scotland were there? What the hell is Scotland doing?
Do you know any of their players now?
Nah, couldn't tell you anything, but that's the only point.
But that's if what they're I'm there, they're there. To, I don't know much about, to tell you the truth, I don't know much about teams just now in that international capacity, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how it develops. There's always a surprise. There's always one or two teams who surprise us and they bring joy to us. And I wonder if
Panama
could produce even one moment like that.
Well, but before Simon's time, I remember the 82 World Cup in Cameroon, Roger Miller brought just something different. Remember
Roger Miller, yeah, I do. Remember? He was in his late 30s as well.
Brilliant, wasn't he? He was brilliant, that Cameroon team.
Absolutely, fantastic. These are the moments.
It was Spain 82, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was Spain 82.
I wouldn't know. I'm actually thinking back to 1966. Was it North Korea? Played Portugal 3-0 up at half time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then Eusebio put the boot down.
That's right.
And Torres and Kaluna and took five off them.
Okay.
But this is what it's all about.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
I hope it's
three
no
games
abort.
A day as well. You're on the drink all day, aren't you?
I know. It's
watching
right.
That.
You're on your drink all day.
I know. I hope it could light up. Right, Messi's involved. Guy I've not mentioned yet in the programme today. Lionel Messi, realistically, probably the last chance for him to win it with Argentina. What do you think of their chances, and will Messi see this as the one last chance to shine on the world stage?
I think they've always got a chance, Argentina. I think they've got top players, didn't they? But they just never seem to do it in the big tournaments. I can't really look past Germany and Spain for me. I think as a whole team, as a unit, I think they two got to be the favourites. And I'd be very surprised if one of the two didn't win it. But of course, Messi, it's all on his shoulders, isn't it? I think when he's at Barcelona, he has got real top players, whereas that Argentina squad have got good players, but I don't think they're at the level of the guys he's playing with week in, week out.
Okay. For you, John, Messi?
Oh, I would love to see Argentina win the World Cup.
Yeah.
I would love Messi to get that accolade and ram it up everybody's
throat.
Yes. Because he's been the greatest player. He's magnificent. There's no diving, there's no fame, everything's a positive. He makes goals.
He's a team player as well. I mean, when we're talking about Ronaldo, he's not get that, it's all about me, you know, he's a team boy.
He's not afraid. The statistics showed that a couple of seasons ago, the person who gave the ball away most in the entire La Liga was Lionel Messi, but he was still voted the best player of all. And that's what football is about. It's about entertainment. And here's a guy who tries to bring it to us every single time he takes the pitch. Good on him. Hope you do it. Hope you score the win on the final. And that will do me lovely.
You think he's the best player ever, Jonathan?
Oh, for me, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and when you think of the guys that have graced our tellies over all the years.
Yeah.
For me, he's...
Better than Maradona, mate. Uh-huh.
I would say just now. There's different argument there, because back in Maradona's time, players could just come right through the back and clean you out, mm-hmm. and they would even get booked for it. So it's different times, but I think for Messi to produce it,
keep that in your head. That's a great point.
Like that for Barcelona all the time. That said, Maradona 86 World Cup. I mean, there's no such thing as winning it single-handedly. That's unfair. But he's a good ass, wasn't it, with his performances in Mexico that summer.
That was just breathtaking. This is what we pray for every time we watch the World Cup. We're looking for international superstars performing at their best.
As you say, Joe, but I love the word that you use. I know you use it in your repertoire as well. Some great stories on it. But entertain, and that's what we want. As you say, we've got 4 weeks. Sometimes it can be drawn out. It seems too long. 3 games a day. Countries that you think, you know, what are they doing in the World Cup? But they're there. But just go out, try and make it free, try and make it open, and go and have a go. And whether you're in the stadium or you're watched in telly, feel as though you've had 90 minutes that you've enjoyed, John. That's so important.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome if people took that cavalier attitude and just went for it. Wouldn't that be great? But I don't think it's going to happen.
Because I think it was at the last tournament, there was quite a lot of teams that went out trying not to lose, especially in the group stages.
Disgusting.
I think people are playing for draws. And you watch the playoff games at the weekend, brilliant. Because you need to win.
Yeah.
It's a one-off game, and I hope the World Cup's similar, because it's much better to watch than a boring 0-0 draw on it.
Well, right, let's get down to it. Who's going to win the World Cup, Simon? You've hinted at either Germany
Spain
or Spain.
I'm going to go Spain.
You're going to go for Spain, aren't you?
Spain, yes.
Who's going to inspire them? Who's going to be their man?
For Spain, I think it'll be Diego Costa. I think he'll be the man. I love big Diego. I think he's had a great season with Atletico Madrid. I think he's back to his best. I think if he plays up top, I think he'll finish top goal scorer, Big Diego.
Right, good shout, good shout.
And he'll leather a few people along the way as well.
Good. And for you, John, well, the winners?
I'm just hoping for Argentina. I'm just hoping that's the way it goes. But we know that the Germans and the Spanish and the Italians, they'll all be doing their bit.
What about wee Bobby Martini? Belgium, you think they've got a chance now? They've people talked to them,
yeah,
up, don't they?
Yeah, they've always got a chance. Yeah. With tremendous, like England, they've got so many potential
match winners.
Oh, aye.
I thought for them, I fancied them. I remember them in the Scotland section when Craig Levein was the manager. So you can back, what, 6 years ago, and that team was starting to get, and I thought, Euro 2016, I'm going to put money in them. And it was like 3-4 years down the line. And I just thought, they flopped. I don't know if they replaced the manager. Mark Wilmot's got the bullet after that, and they brought in the Bobster Martinez with Thierry Henry. But I just think that you're, I think if it was a Euros possibly, but I think you're up a notch at the World Cup, and I'm going to go a lot. Although I think Brazil I'd never write off Brazil, but you know, I agree with you, John. I'm a wee sneaky for
never
for
write
Argentina.
Off Brazil.
Never write off.
Wow. Imagine writing off Brazil.
Well, on that note, we've had a fantastic look at that, we're well into injury time today. John, we've had a fabulous 47 minutes on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground. It was our final one of the season. A big, big thanks over the past few months to our friends at William Hill for their wonderful sponsorship. Our thanks to Simon Ferry for joining us week in, week out with his not only sense of humour, but his fabulous insight into the game, and all our special guests over the course of the past few months. In particular, the one who's sitting across from us now, our final one of the season, to John Gagan. John, have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, thanks for getting me in. It's been great.
Would you like to come back again?
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I've got a bottle of electricity coming through me, which is being fed for Simon here. He's just a wee bubble here.
Brilliant. Well, we've had a great time. I know that you'll be back to join us when the new season starts, so stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. Enjoy your summer.